The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the last, I'm a little loud there. Whew. In the last 10 years or so, I have rekindled my love of the game Monopoly. I don't know if other people love Monopoly, but I love Monopoly. If anybody ever wants to play Monopoly, I'm your guy. I don't know why I love it. So many people hate it. But the thing I like about Monopoly is that it has just a clear goal, right? There's one singular, very easy to understand goal of Monopoly. The mission is concise. Just get it all, right? Earn as much as you can and sweep everybody else off the board, right? Bankrupt them. It's just fiendishly simple. I love it. Today, in our gospel, we're actually being given a mission. This is the mission of Jesus. Jesus couldn't spell it out more clearly for us if we asked him to. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Proclaim release to the captive, sight to the blind. Let the captives go free, the oppressed go free. Good news to the poor." There it is. And yet, we always kind of tend to muddy it up, I think. This is church council retreat season right here in January. You get new elections in December, and then council is usually set out for retreat season here in January. They get together. Usually the goal is something like, what's our goal for the year ahead, the mission, what's our vision for the year ahead. Our church council will be doing this next week. Yesterday, I sat in the synod council meeting online. I was supposed to go up to Luther Glen, but we had it on Zoom. And we did exactly that. We talked strategic vision, mission, that kind of stuff. Well, I got a call from a friend who's a pastor on the East Coast yesterday as I was getting off my synod council meeting. And he said, "I failed. I am just a failure. I couldn't have flopped harder in my church council visioning process if I'd have tried." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, we gathered together. I had the whole day planned out. We were going to spend a couple hours doing this and a couple hours doing this. It was going to be the small group process, and then the small group process was going to come into bits, and I was going to put it on the board, and everybody was going to see this sort of magical thing. We were going to define our mission in 8 words for the next year." I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, they hated it." They hated the process. They fought me at every turn. I fought them at every turn. And then they got it to 15 words, said, "To heck with this, that's enough," and nobody got behind a thing. He said, "I failed. This is just despairing." So we're talking about this together and trying to sort of figure out what happens. But, you know, he was sort of giving voice to this feeling of like, the mission of Jesus is clear. Today it's fiendishly clear. Good news to the poor. Full stop. That's it. If it ain't good news to the poor, maybe we're not doing it right. And yet we muddy it up. Personalities and things kind of start storming in, and then all of a sudden we get flitted off this way and we get that way, and then we have to put a new roof on the building, and all of a sudden that happens and this happens and budgets happen. We find ourselves lost. But the mission is clear. And the truth is that the mission of God is not something that we come up with. The mission of God for us finds us. It finds the church. We don't have to go seeking it. So my friend was telling me this story, and we were lamenting, and you know, I was trying to give him an ear, and he said, you know, this really weird thing happened then. And I hesitate to even bring it up. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, 5-10 minutes before we were supposed to stop this visioning exercise, everybody's burnt out and upset with one another. And he says, 5 minutes before we're supposed to stop, a gentleman walked through the door of our church and heads kind of turned. And he sauntered into the fellowship room and he took a seat with us. And everybody's sort of sitting there saying, hi, can we help you? And there's kind of a large homeless population in this area, so that was where everybody's mind first went in this urban area, is like, does this guy need help? Does he need food? Does he need a bathroom? So they said, the pastor said, hi, you know, can I help you? What's up? And the man said, no, just continue on with what you're doing. So the church council kind of looked at one another, and the pastor said, you know, everybody, this, I think, is a good time to just call it. We've got our 15 words on the board that are of no use to anybody, but I'll see you in church tomorrow. And so the pastor walks over to this gentleman who's older and says, what's going on? What brings you to our church today? And as soon as people are sort of finding the edges of the room and out of earshot, the man just breaks down. And he starts weeping. And my friend says, well, yeah. What are these tears? What's going on? And he says, my daughter's just died. I'm not Lutheran, but this is the closest church to my house, so I came in. And as he's sitting there telling my friend about his daughter, he says, and it's not just that she died, it's that she's been cremated. And I don't know how I feel about cremation, and I am so fearful for her soul. And my friend says, well, tell me more about that. What are you fearful of? And the man says, I am fearful that she is not with Jesus. Okay, why is that? The man says, well, she wanted to be scattered at a lake, our favorite lake. She wanted to be scattered at a lake, and I just can't conceive of how she's going to be with Jesus if her ashes are all in the bottom of this lake. How does this work? She's not with Jesus. I don't know what to think, and I'm lost. My friend said, well, why did she want to go to the lake? And the man says, well, because that's where she found beauty. She loved the lake. She just thought this was the most beautiful touch of heaven on earth. And the pastor says, oh, there it is. She wanted to be folded into the beauty of creation. What more is death than being folded into the tender arms of God? Your daughter is with Jesus. Your daughter is beloved, delightful child of God. Your daughter is at home with Christ. The man said, I didn't know what I wanted to hear today, but thank you. What time is church tomorrow morning? We don't have to go searching for the mission of God. That's it. Proclaim release to the captives. It couldn't be more clear. If it ain't good news to the poor in heart, the poor in spirit, the poor in mind, those with tears in their eyes, if it's not good news, then maybe we're not doing it right. Council members, we got a retreat next week. If you want some easy answers for our visioning process, just read this gospel today about 100 times between now and then. It'll come to us. This is it. One of my favorite theologians, Susan Briel, she's up in Washington State. She writes some hymns in our hymn book. Susan Briel says, you know, what Jesus is talking about here in Isaiah, actually, he's talking about this thing called Jubilee, this day of Jubilee that gets talked about in the Old Testament. And we don't really know if this is actually historically, if this is something people practiced or if it's just an idea. But on the 49th year, every 49 years, it's the year of Jubilee. And what that means is property owners are supposed to release their slaves and their indentured servants. They're supposed to free people from debts. It's this year where the world just kind of gets turned upside down and things go back to normal. And Susan Briel says, this is kind of like when my family likes to play Monopoly, right? And those border or those properties start accumulating, right? Somebody puts on three and then four houses on Boardwalk, and then somebody finally, that jerk, finally puts up a hotel on Boardwalk, right? I like the orange properties personally, but you know those people who do that. And as soon as you roll the dice and somebody finds themselves landing on Boardwalk, the year of Jubilee is as if God is saying, boom, turn that thing upside down. You will not have to pay this debt. And that is good news to the poor. That is good news to the person who landed on Boardwalk. Sometimes I think we lose our way, though, in this mission, because that can be bad news for those of us who are holding those properties. And that can be tough. But today Jesus says, this word is fulfilled in your hearing. This word, this good news, just by hearing it, makes it a possibility in the world. Our mission together as the people of God is before us. Release the captives. Proclaim good news to the poor. Thanks be to God. Amen.